Welcome to the second Zombie Lovers podcast. I'm your host, Ross, also known as Joe Frank on the Zombie Lovers group. Today we have Brandon Starocci. I hope I've said that all right. Creator and writer of a brand new comic series called Avalon. So welcome to the show. So this is your first creation.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here, especially to be number two, episode two here.
Yeah, go ahead. So this is your first creation, first creation, and yeah.
This is the first project I've ever really worked on in this kind of industry and all of that as well. It's kind of like my ticket into it. I've had the idea for a long, long time. No clue what to do with it and all that, but yeah, this is my first creation into like the whole just
Yeah.
the creation world. But
Creative world, yeah. Yeah. So a big question, obviously, this is a zombie lovers group. So a big question is, why horror? What and why zombie? Why did that draw you in?
I don't know. The big thing is I've always been interested in the zombie genre. I don't know if it's really just a survivability, just like the end of the world kind of feeling like, okay, what, in a lot of people's eyes, I'm kind of the person where I'm like, I think it simplifies the world, having the apocalypse. Like you just, it's survival of the fittest kind of mentality. You still have to, in today's day and age, you still have to kind of search for food, and that would be work your time and then pay for food. But in the zombie apocalypse, it's like, you got to like find it. And that's your honest day's work.
Yeah.
Your 8-hour work day is like going out and finding stuff. So I was always kind of drawn into that. And obviously just the zombies in general, it's always been interesting to me and fun to me.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's the thing. That's what I like about zombie lore. It's like the, to me, it's like almost a metaphor for the end of civilization. The zombies are kind of like in the background, and that's just one thing they've got to fight over. And then there's trust issues, stuff like that that they have to combat as well with, the new world.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
100%. I enjoy that aspect about it as well. And that's actually a big thing that we try to incorporate into Avalon too, is really more so like, not that the zombies are in the background so much, but like it's more so like, what is this apocalypse, zombie apocalypse, end of the world doing to this family specifically? And all the stresses that people have on a day-to-day basis, just in an average day, now you're getting that on top of, okay, now the end of the world happens. Now we're fighting infected people or zombies or whatever you want to call them. So it's just like, it adds that whole nother stress level. But as time goes on, I always enjoyed watching zombie stories and seeing like, that's just a new way of life. It could be considered easier. It's a different lifestyle. You don't have to work your 8-hour plus days, and so on, but you're just trying to survive.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I'm gonna have to bring this up, but obviously, when I think of comics and I think of zombies, right? Obviously, The Walking Dead is something that comes to mind, right? There's other zombie comics like iZombie, things like that. But it's a comic that kind of everyone holds up to, or kind of it's the one that's been going on. It's had a massive TV show made from it, everything like that. So it's kind of like the I suppose like years ago, it would have been like the Night of the Living Dead would have been the one, or the Jorge Romero films would have been the ones that people would have held up to. Now it's like The Walking Dead's like the one that the zombie like saga that people hold up to the light. So what makes yours different, and what makes yours unique? Apart from the writing, is it like a team around you?
What we try to do a little bit differently, I mean, obviously there's going to be a lot of similarities just because the genre we're in with the whole zombie world. So there's going to be a lot of similarities of just family element of it. The zombies, the end of the world kind of aspect of things. But one of the big draws, or one of the big differences that we wanted to focus on, is really the mental health of an individual, the real life physical issues that people have to deal with on a day-to-day basis, because we have family members that are dealing with cancers, okay, or they have like a nerve problem, or they can't really run, or something holding them back, or mentally as well, depression, anxiety, stuff along that nature. But really exercising those kind of day-to-day things that people deal with into this zombie apocalypse, and really harping on it, and adding a whole nother level of drama specifically to the characters. And one other thing I wanted to mention too, because this is kind of like our catch thing, it separates us from the Walking Dead or anything like that, is We're not really focusing on one person's journey. It's
Yeah,
not
you
Rick
know.
Grimes' story. Yeah, it's the whole family right now. You're kind of, there's no one main character. There's anybody can be a main character to anybody that's reading it.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to touch on that actually because obviously I've looked into your comics, I've looked into a few podcasts you've done, and you've talked about the staying away from the main character, staying away from the main hero, like Rick Grimes kind of character, and having this kind of family element. But one thing I wanted to touch on, which you have already touched on, was the mental health thing. And why did you go down that route? Was it just because of the world is there's so much mental health talked about these days and things like that? Yeah.
Yeah, that's obviously what a big answer right there. So it's a very common thing to be discussed about in today's day and age. And another thing is like we all know people who are dealing with mental health issues, whatever that might be. There's a lot of them, but really making sure, and especially we all kind of learned this through COVID and how much, again, that's the closest thing that we had to an apocalypse. I mean, obviously it wasn't like an apocalypse, but
Yeah.
exercising that apocalypse kind of life with Avalon and what we're doing here. Taking that over tenfold from COVID, really, what is that pressure? What does that boot on the neck feel like to an everyday person and the mental health that people have to deal with on a day-to-day basis with that apocalypse dawning over them and blanketing over them? So it's just that was a real approach that we wanted to take with our story and what we're telling.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, COVID was something I was actually going to bring up. I mean, it's not. I'm not. Obviously, it's such a serious thing. I'm not undermining how serious it was. But you think because of in over the last few years, there's been a massive movement towards. There's, I mean, there's so much zombie stuff. So much. Like a lot of the Korean things that have come out. There's lots of. I even watched a zombie film the other day. It's called Cargo. Had Martin Freeman in it, hobbits and zombie films. Do you know what I mean? So, do you think because of COVID, or do you think it's because of other maybe that's kind of pushed this genre along, or do you think there's something else? And it's just because zombies.
I think COVID definitely helped that narrative, that push to kind of get those stories kind of out there. I think everybody has a natural like knack of like how would you survive in like a survival situation just in general, if it's zombies or whatever it might be, if it's a hurricane or whatever it is. I think people constantly think of these things, these doomsday preppers, what people like to kind of label them as, but like everybody has to think about it at some point or another. Everybody talks about it at one point or another with their friends or their family or whatever. What do we do if this happens? Or what do we do if this happens? I think so. Everybody has that in them to really like, how could I in my situation survive this? In this case, how can me and my family survive the zombie apocalypse? And that's really the big kind of look when we get into the writing room and all that stuff with our, the writers and me and the writers, and we figure out what we want to tell and how we want to tell it. It's how is this whole family dealing with the stress of the apocalypse on top of their dysfunctionality that they've had before the apocalypse even started? Like what could we bring to it and what could we tell that's a little bit different than we've already seen?
Yeah, but there's a tagline on your website. Is how would I do in this world? That's the tagline on your website. It says that, and it's crazy because a lot of the questions I was going to ask you've answered them. But one thing I wanted to touch upon was the person that does the illustrator. He was a guy from Greece. Is that right?
Greece. Yep.
How did that come about? How did you get in touch?
So yeah, when we were first trying to figure out what we're this is the beginning of the writing stages, trying to find out who we wanted to do the art and the style that we were really looking for. I was every single day for months, I was on Instagram. I was looking up, I believe it was comic book artist hashtag on Instagram, and I would just go through, scroll until I found styles that looked like what we were kind of thinking about rolling with, because we knew we wanted to do the black, white, and blood. So we're like looking for a lot of that, that dark, gritty kind of art style. And then when we found Demetrius, greatly we found Demetrius, and he was just all in when I was messaging him. I just knew right away that he was the guy, not only because of his art style, but just because of the person Demetrius is. He's just a go-getter. He loves the work. He loves the project. He loves horror, the genre, and he loves zombies as well. So it's just like when I was talking to him, I just knew that he was the guy after
Yeah.
figuring it out. And, you know, we're blessed to have him, because I feel like he's just as much Avalon that anybody could, that is a part of it. You know,
Yeah.
that's what I believe it.
Yeah, that's the thing I was going to ask about as well. When I like comic books. Obviously, as this is a Zombie Lovers podcast, there might be people that join my group because they like the films or they like books or they like comics or whatever, you know. But I do like generally like comics. And the black and white thing, I was going to ask you about what made you go down that path, the black and white image
So
imagery.
I love the Walking Dead comic. You know, it was black and white. You know, I think the art style was great on there. I really enjoyed the style. The reason we wanted to go with the blood, it'd be a little bit different. And then I just like the look of like the black, white, and blood. You know, I know there's a lot of comics that do that. Marvel comics do that, and DC comics will do that. But you know, and especially with Demetrius, which I believe we're very lucky to have him. And he the way he showcases the grayscale with the blood, it looks phenomenal every single time. And each issue he comes out, it just gets better and better, in my opinion. But we just wanted to capture that gritty noir kind of like dark, you know, bleak world with the art style inside the story. And to have him be able to do the black, white, and blood as well as he can do it. It just gives us another, you know, opportunity to be like a that next tier comic. You know, he gives us that opportunity to keep moving.
I think you know, the grayscale and the black and white comics, it really works well with certain genres, especially dark stuff, like horror. I've read George Orwell's 1984 before, but I read they've done it. There was a graphic novel got brought out of 1984, and they did that in black and white with you know, blood bits when Winston, the main character, in the end is getting tortured and stuff. And it was just what, you know, the art on that was fantastic. And as you said, it just works really well with certain comics. And I think with the, especially like the Walking Dead was in black and white as well, like you said, it just it works great. And you know, but your the style changed, is that correct? Like in your first issue, the style was slightly different, is that correct? And you're changing it slightly, and then you're going to bring a new one out or something. Is that correct? Along those lines?
Yeah, so one of the things is obviously we've met Demetrius. We're both new at this, you know, and you know he's kind of developed his art style into a new style that you see from issue two on. Issue one, it's you know, it's still good. I still really enjoy it. It's a classic to me. You know, it's like one of those like classic movies, like you're like, this is it, this is like the old kind of classic look to it. But I remember when he messaged me after finishing issue one, he's like, I changed my art style's evolved. I've been working on things, and I come up with a new art style. And I was kind of nervous because I'm a big consistent person. And then when he's telling me that, I'm like, I don't know. Want to do this? I said, just draft something up. Let me see what you're talking about and all that. And then he showed me what he was working on. I was like, wow, yeah, 100%. Let's just roll with it. Screw it. And then he ended up doing it. And then again, you could even see the progression from issue two to three and four. Like each issue, he just expands constantly with the panel layouts, the angles, the character kind of look, you know, and all that. Every issue, I told him this several times. It, not that any issue is bad. It's just somehow, some way, he just finds like new things, and it's just awesome every single time. He wows me each issue that goes on. But yeah, so speaking about the remake that you mentioned as well, for issue one, we printed our last batch of the original art style after issue five and six, which are going to be coming out here shortly. We're going to be doing a remake to the issue one, so you're going to see that new art style that he brings in the issue one story, and kind of showcase it that way, and allow people to, or allow like the whole volume to look like it's all one, you know, same art style and etc. But he's going to bring it and add the cool elements, the cool panel layouts that he's capable of doing now that he wasn't so much in issue one, that he can showcase.
So is that going to be the trade paperback when it comes out? The six issues together is all going on the one. I take it the one style.
So 6 issues is going to be like our season. You know, it's going to be 6 issue seasons volume. And so once our sixth issue is out, hopefully by, you know, summertime, we're going to be working on that trade paperback and getting that out by the end of the year at the latest. depending on what we got going on, because he's got a remake issue one and all that going forward. But we're really excited. We have really cool ideas of adding to this trade paperback. It's not going to be just the six issues. There's going to be old concept art, old kind of discussions we've had. We're going to showcase things that we were working on but didn't put into the comics. So it's going to be a cool, like, behind the scenes spot in the back of the trade paperback that we're working on figuring out, which is going to be, I think, interesting. I enjoy stuff like that. I haven't seen trade paperback that's done that yet. I don't know if that's like a thing or not a thing, but that's something we're going to try and do.
Some trade paperbacks do. They have like some at the back, you know, at the back of the issue. The issue they have, styles that we're thinking of doing, and then they've dropped, or you know, early artwork and things like that. It's just it's kind of common, I suppose. But it sounds like it sounds, in your case, it sounds because the styles evolved. You know, it just sounds like it'll be really interesting for the reader to see that evolution. Even though the trade paperback is exactly, you know, all the same all the way through, when they can look at the back, they can see how it evolved. You know.
Yeah. So, yeah. Go on. Sorry.
No, that's all right. You can go.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, that's my biggest thing too. You know, I mean, as time goes on, obviously this is our comic here, but you know, I'm a fan of Demetrius's art style, and every time he comes out with something new, it's cool to compare the new stuff to the old stuff and how he just evolves each issue that goes on. And again, me being just a fan of his style and feeling lucky to have him part of this journey with me, it's just awesome to kind of go back, like you're saying, go back and go, like, look at this compared to this now. And it's a wild ride here.
Yeah. So where did this idea come from, Brandon? Because you were quite late to comics, weren't you? I was late to comics as well. I didn't get into comics until I was like 30. I'm 40, in my 40s now, right? I didn't get into comics until I was 30 something. And before that, I used to always have it. I don't know why. I just thought it was for, you know, it was all Marvel stuff. It was all DC stuff. And then I picked up, I don't know, the first comic I picked up, I can't remember, it might be The Walking Dead, it might have been something else, but it was just so adult. And I was like, wow, you know what? I've been missing out all these years. And now, you know, and but where did you get this idea from? Because you were a late comic guy, were you, or person, were you not? But you had this idea.
Yeah, you go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, yeah, you had this idea. Did you have this idea early in life, or was it after you got into comics, or, you know?
So the idea stemmed way back, like high school, about 10 years ago at this point. I was a huge fan of The Walking Dead. I was a huge fan of zombies in general. I love the original Dawn of the Dead. I love the remake. I love Night of the Living Dead. You know, all those the Living Dead movies. I love Zombie 28 Weeks, all that stuff. So I was a big zombie person. You know, this is deep into like watching The Walking Dead. I had the idea, again, the question arose, like, how would I survive in a zombie apocalypse, relating it to my family members? You know, and that is one of the big reasons why there's three brothers in the story, because I have two other brothers. So they're just three siblings. And so it's really almost like a reflection, a dramatic reflection on my life. It's not so much true or not, but, you know, there's definitely elements in my life that are put into the story.
Yeah.
But so I had that idea, you know. I was going to go to the New York Film Academy because I loved film. I wanted to do all that stuff, and then figured I was way too expensive. Ended up coming back, scrapped the idea. I put it in like a tote, and then years go down. I meet Alan, and then he kind of influenced me to kind of move forward with this and try and help it. And he helped me kind of get, you know, the ball rolling here. And then we ended up turning Avalon to what it is now. I mean, it wasn't what it is now then. I just had ideas and brainstorming kind of on paper. But him and I kind of brainstormed everything and made Avalon what it is today. And, you know, I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful that he kind of was like, let's just do it. You know, what the hell, you know, but I can't, you know, it was like that whole, I don't know what I'm doing, but it was like step for step. We're doing it, learning it at the same time and figuring it out. And we're happy with what we got.
So what is the step by step for people who aren't into comics or who might be watching this podcast at some point? What's the steps? What comes first? Then what comes last? You know, obviously the printing, I suppose, comes last. But what comes first? The story? Or do you write it out? Or, you know, what's
the step? We just basically just, I mean, at the end of the day, just do it, you know. And that's kind of like the mentality with it is, you have an idea. write it all down, learn things as you go on. If you're really motivated, you really want to do something and all that, whatever it is, you know, if it could be anything at all, you're going to put time, you're going to put effort into it, you're going to put your, you know, all that into learning what to do and how to get it all out and about. Because again, we knew nothing about it. We knew nothing about the whole comic world, especially, you know, writing it. You know, just it was learning as we kind of went along. And it's simple as just do it. You got to just sit down. I have an idea. Write this idea down. Expand on the idea. As soon as you have like a good idea of what you want, you know, in a comic form, then you start scripting it out. You know, you read the script. You do. Him and I, we did a lot too, where we like almost not act out the scenes, but read the scenes to each other to make sure like it sounds like a normal person would say the words that we write into this. So that's like a big step too, is you don't want to sound blocky or anything like that. And the biggest thing for me that I enjoy, that, you know, one of the perks that I believe I have is being a sponge, taking criticism, taking people's advice, informing it into what I think works best, just having great people around you, looking for those people, and again, being a sponge. Don't be like, oh, I know this, or I know that, or I already did this before. Just to, even if you did it, just take it in. You know, that's another person's experience. It can reflect in a different way. I just take in all the information somebody can give me. And I like being a sponge in that regard. I just try to surround myself with people who know what the hell they're doing, because I don't, you know. So it's kind of baby stepping and learning from everybody in the process. And that's kind of like how I did it. So
So you obviously you've mentioned The Walking Dead being an influence in films. You said you were into film. What other inspirations have you got, or you know, you said your three brothers and your family and things like that. Is that a major part of the inspiration for Avalon?
For the initial story itself, yeah. But again, just being a fan of the genre, you know, I have just that apocalyptic survivability. You know, one of the big movies that I talk about all the time as well is 30 Days of Night. That has I have a lot of influence that I take from that movie as well. I really enjoy that movie. And again, it just had that survivability. Like, okay, like what are we gonna do? And how would we survive? It's just trying to get all those nature like or natural feelings into what how would somebody do it? And the situation given, you know, and but again, using some of those elements that I see on a day-to-day basis, if it's friends, if it's family, whatever it is, and I obviously dramatic make it more a little bit more dramatic for the story element of it, but it's just a lot of these things people see every day, you know, people see it, people, you know, think about it, people talk about it, so it's just I think anybody could pick up Avalon, even if they're not into zombies, and they can kind of relate to it, relate to how a person's feeling. And I try to, with the team that and around me and all that stuff, we try to really make it a point that anybody can pick this comic up and enjoy it at least a little bit, even if you're not a fan of zombies, you know. Or so we really try to make it like, look at you could read it and enjoy it.
I'm almost trying to get my girlfriend. She's not into zombies or horror. I'm almost trying to get her into watching the zombie stuff with me. But I don't.
Yeah.
You know, she's never into it, so I need to watch this kind of stuff by myself. So I'll probably obviously read the comic by myself. But if this ever becomes I don't know. Would you ever? Is that a dream, like it becoming a show or a film or something like that? Is that something that in the future?
Of course, of course. And I think that's always kind of, I mean, I think that it's always kind of like an idea for me, you know, no matter what I kind of, what project I work on, I would always want it to be something bigger, you know, and that's kind of my drive goal and all this stuff. Like with Avalon, it would be awesome. It'd be a dream come true, even more so, than it already has been in making it a show or whatever it might be. And you know, I love what we have right now with Avalon, and to have something like that, because again, way back then I was into movies. It was originally supposed to be a movie, but I didn't know what I was doing, so I kind of just scrapped it. But the comic was, you know, I'm glad it's a comic now, because what we got right now, and the great people I've met in this process as well, and Demetrius especially, you know, I'm glad this whole kind of thing worked out the way it did.
So what's the next thing? What's the next thing in ahead then? Obviously you've got like two more comics to come out. Two more comics to come out in the UK. Is that right? It's the fifth one out already in the US. Is that right? Or
So we have 4 issues out. Is that what you're asking? 4 issues out currently. Five is good. He's just finishing. We're a little late on five. You know, I mentioned in past interviews as well, both of us had stuff going on. You know, it kind of delayed issue five, unfortunately, and we're doing all that we can to get it out as soon as possible, updating people with new pages and letting people know that this is still being worked on. Yeah. Demetrius is almost done with that. As soon as five is done, it's getting sent and out to everybody who wants it. And then starts issue six, you know, and getting that out there. And again, that would complete the season one for everybody, and that'll be like the finale, I guess, is for lack of a better term. So and then as soon as all that stuff goes, so we're going to be really pushing that, and then pushing the trade paperback, working on that, getting that out, because I know myself, for a while I read trade paperbacks, and I know that's more of like a popular opinion. If you want to like read it, especially in the indie community, be like, okay, they have a trade paperback, I'll buy it for this much money instead of spreading my wealth out for issue to issue to issue. Make sure this is something I'm interested in, and then kind of do it. So that's kind of like the approach and the understanding that we have for what we got planned for this year.
And how far ahead is this going? I mean, is this going to be an ongoing saga, or you know, like The Walking Dead? Because The Walking Dead went in for 32 like trade paperbacks. Do you know what I mean? So is this what's the end game? Have you thought of that, or is there an end game?
Yeah, so I have a generic way of how I kind of want this to, not generic, I don't, generic sounds bad. I have a general way of how I kind of want to like end this series, but it's going to be going on for a while. You know, the idea is that we got a lot of story to tell, many volumes that are coming off the up to mine right now, that I'm thinking that like we need to kind of make sure this is being put into the story. So the end isn't going to be anytime soon. We're working on getting a lot of these issues out. Me and the writing team right now, we're perfecting season two right now, and then obviously season two will pick up late this year, early next year, and we're going to be sending that out. We're excited for that. With the art, or not the art, with the script and all that going forward. And again, I have it all drafted out, but we're really kind of just fine tuning season two right now.
Okay. Listen, Brandon, I'm getting notifications from Zoom telling me that time's about to run out. It's been an absolute pleasure listening to you and listening about your journey. And I really hope, you know, I hope it does get made into a season. I hope it gets somebody buys it up and decides to do that, you know. So it was great having you on the show, and I hope you enjoyed being on as well.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity. I really did enjoy being here. It was nice talking to you and nice meeting you and all that as well. Loved the time here.
I didn't speak too fast then. You understood me?
No, I got you 100%.
Okay, Brandon. Okay, nice to meet you. And I hope we'll do this again soon, another time, maybe in the future. We might do a catch up again, you know, you know.
100%. I would love it.
Okay. All right, Brandon. Thank you. Thanks for your time. Bye. Right.